This is the Deep Dive with Brooks Spector.
And this is part two of today's Deep Dive. I'm your host, Brooks Spector. And my guest now is Kenny Kunene. He's driving around the country, so he's taken a short left to find a spot where he can talk without having other interference, but on the way to something else. He's part of the Patriotic Alliance. In his own description of himself, he says he's a businessman, he's a politician, and he doesn't fail to note that he has also been a criminal, but obviously a reformed one, which is perhaps something we can explore. It's good to have you. I've not actually met you. I've seen you do your speechifying a couple times, but I'm pleased to have a chance to talk with you. If you were to sum up in one phrase what brought you to the world of politics as opposed to business or commerce or education or anything else, what drove you to the idea of finding a path in the political realm?
Thank you very much for having me, and good morning. What brought me into politics is the love for my country. It's the love for the people of this country who have given me a second chance. And it is the fact that I could see that my country is going into oblivion, and those who are in charge don't have a vision, don't have a plan, don't have a strategy to do better, and that my country will go down and get worse and worse and worse. So the spirit of patriotism, the ideology of patriotism, got me back into politics.
It doesn't come out of thin air, obviously. I mean, you encountered somebody or read something, observed something about life. But who might that person have been who said to you, this is what you need to think about? Somebody must have given you that push.
There is one of the senior leaders of the ANC who has since passed on. He was also in the intelligence of the ANC. In 2012, I asked him, what has gone wrong? Why is it that a black government is taking our country down? What is wrong with the ANC? And he said to me that himself and many others are crying inside. Because in 1994, they were played and they failed South Africans. And that the ANC government entered into contracts with England, with the former National Party, that would not transform this country for the betterment of the majority. And that you need parties that will emerge and distance themselves from these contracts. For a black person, a colored person, an Indian person, and for all of us, as South Africans, including white people, to live in harmony, to be able to share in the minerals of this country. He said the ANC was too excited about voting. It forgot about economic emancipation of the majority of our people. And I think that stuck with me for quite some time. But I did not intend to go into politics. But because I was close to Floyd Shivambu and Julius Malema, when they were fired, expelled, and suspended, respectively, I advised them to start a political party and focus on the youth, as they had a youth following, to which Floyd was friendly to the idea. However, Julius said his blood is green, gold, and black. I even traveled to Limpopo to go and try and convince him, but he was not to be convinced. Only after they took his farm did he now say that he is now friendly to the idea, and that's how the EFF was born. But when I realized that for Julius Malema, politics is a vehicle, it's a means to an end for himself. It is for his pocket. From the things he was saying, from the things he was doing, the fact that he wouldn't mind take money from anyone, I realized that he had no principles of a man that can lead this country. And that's why I left the EFF. And that's when myself and Gethin McKenzie decided to start a political party, realizing that career politicians do not have the interests of this country and its people at heart.
I'm intrigued by the fact that you've talked to a variety of political figures, including the man whose name you didn't mention, as well as Julius Malema and Floyd Shivambu. And you've been around in this world for a while. You've had lots of personal experiences, good and bad, failures and complications in your life. Look at your life as a whole, and what is the thing, the experience that taught you the most, that gave you a key, deep, resonant life lesson? What thing, you know, sticks with you that way?
There is not one, but the first one is my grandmother, my mother, and my grandfather who raised me. The humanity principle that they gave me, the selflessness that they had for the community where we grew up, the respect, but the understanding that it must never be about self, it must always be about us. But also prison taught me a lot. Prison taught me many lessons. Had I not gone to prison, I don't think I would have been a stronger man than I am today. It taught me about people, but it also taught me that your destiny is in your hands, that the choices you make will either make or break you. Prison taught me that life is in your hands and nobody's hands. But prison, most importantly, taught me the importance of time. Prison taught me to love, even if I do not know you, but to love you, to help you. I helped a lot of people in prison, and the appreciation is even way greater than on the outside. So there are those life lessons that I got in my journey. But politics taught me the worst of things. Politicians have no principle. That is why I always say we are business people. We say career politicians have no principle. That is why I prefer to call myself and Gayton McKenzie business people who are community activists. We are labeled politicians because we are leading a political party. But what got us into politics is our community activism. It's our philanthropist activities that we always do. We like to help. But career politicians have no principle. I think in South Africa specifically, the one politician who had principle was Nelson Mandela, because he stood his ground on everything. Even when Bill Clinton told him that he would not come to his inauguration if he invited Fidel Castro, Yasser Arafat, and Muammar Gaddafi, he still responded publicly that you will not choose my friends. And for the first time, because of that principle, the West and those that they deemed their enemies sat under the same roof because of one man's principle. Even when Mandela was in the U.S. With one of the journalists who then said to him, you call Yasser Arafat your friend in arms, your brother in arms, but you are coming to the United States of America Congress to speak to the Jews, because the Congress is made up of a lot of Jews. How do you expect them to help you because they see Yasser Arafat as an enemy? And he answered that Yasser Arafat remains my brother in arms because he supported us during our liberation struggle with resources and everything else. If the Congress is going to determine its assistance or its response to what I am bringing to them based on my relationship with Yasser Arafat, then let it be. That is principle. Learned from that legend, from that old man. Principle is very important in politics. And I remember he also said in that interview, a man who changes his tune, what he says based on the audience that he's in front of, does not deserve to lead a country. And we have seen many in this country who change their tunes every day. So career politicians have no principle.
I must take a break now. Well, don't go away. We're speaking with Kenny Cuneni of the Patriotic Alliance. This is The Deep Dive. I'm Brooke Spector, your host, and we'll be right back after this station break and messages.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
We're We are speaking with Kenny Cooney, and this is Brooke Spector, your host of Deep Dive. And he was just describing, my guest was just describing the nature of principles in politics and examples of where principles matter, and an example or two of where some politicians don't have any. Now, I want to pose this to you. Despite your hope, I'm sure you realize that your party is not going to win a majority of the votes of all South Africans on the 29th. That's a given. But it is entirely possible that you will have a hand in a governing coalition of some type, some mix, to be determined in the future. In that case, what would be the most important specific policies you would advocate for right at the very beginning? Not the general idea of a better life for everybody or a chicken in every pot, or even a roast beef in every pot, for that matter. What would be the specific things you would push hard for?
Number one, we want God back into schools. The ANC government in 1994 declared our country as a secular state. We want God to be taught in schools. We want all religions to be taught in public schools. The private schools can decide what they want to do, but we want God back into schools. That is a non-negotiable. Secondly, the rate of unemployment is very high. We want young unemployed people who can't go to university to go for military service, to go and do national service, to go and learn skills that God has blessed them with, where whilst they are learning the skills, and also training to know how to defend their country, they are being paid a stipend, not this 350 of people who are loitering the streets and committing crime. Number three, we are mass deporting all illegal immigrants. It's a non-negotiable. All illegal immigrants must be mass deported out of our country. We have seen big business now is employing illegal immigrants so that they can treat them as slaves. They can pay them slave salaries because they don't want to employ South Africans, because South Africans demand a basic salary as stipulated by government. We have seen this ANC allowing Somalians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Ethiopians to take over local economy, selling expired food products to our people. We want to give back local economy to locals in every area where they stay. They must run their local economy. That's what was happening during apartheid. South Africans were running supermarkets and shops in their own communities, and they were assisting communities. I am a beneficiary of an old man who has passed now, Ubabu Dlamini, who paid for my university fees when my grandmother could not pay. So that is a non-negotiable. If you are going into coalition with us, you must understand, we need to industrialize our country. We need to stimulate the economy and grow the economy. We need to make sure that the SMMEs play a pivotal role in the economic growth of our country. Obviously, we need to create jobs. And one of those things that we would do is to bring back the maintenance of our infrastructure. Because the ANC government builds, but it does not maintain infrastructure. They don't maintain roads. They don't maintain public buildings. They don't maintain hospitals, police stations, and so on and so on. In essence, these are the specifics that we'd want to do. But we also want to elevate the role of the royal leaders in this country, as their role has not been defined even by the constitution, and they find themselves being treated like beggars by the government of the ANC. And also, we do not agree with the expropriation of land without compensation. We are going to protect property rights. It's a non-negotiable. In essence, those are the non-negotiables amongst others that we'll be dealing with. Another non-negotiable, we are bringing law and order in this country. And that would include the introduction of the death penalty for crimes that are ruthless, where there is evidence, not circumstantial evidence, but hardcore evidence that the person has murdered, the person has killed, or the person has committed a serious crime, including corruption, where billions have been stolen. That must constitute a crime of death penalty, because corruption in this country has led to lack of service delivery and the collapse of public institutions.
Let me ask you this. You're strong on the idea of fighting corruption. One of the problems that I see here now is that many people get accused of being corruption, but that the wheels of justice and retribution against them grind exceedingly slowly. You're familiar with the Zondo Commission's report, which listed dozens of names of people who quite clearly had their hands in the trough, or snout in the trough, their hands in the bucket, or whatever, however we want to describe it. But none of them have been, there have been virtually no trials of any of these. There aren't even indictments. Why does it take so long, and how would you change that?
The African National Congress manages people's anger. That's what they're doing. Commissions are meant to manage the anger of South Africans. You set up a commission where there's clear evidence of corruption, where there are witnesses who say the crime has been committed. So the commissions are a way of the ANC stealing money because they take it on the other side. The Zondo Commission, over $1 billion was spent on that investigation. Why would you spend so much for recommendations when you have the Hawks, you've got crime intelligence, you've got state security, you've got all, you've got South African Police Service? Why don't you just investigate with the human capital and with the resources that you have? So we are going to take the route that has been taken by the Prime Minister of Singapore, or the President of Singapore, where when he found a minister guilty of corruption, he was given 30 years by the courts. I said on many occasions, I also see that in government, when officials are found of being corrupt, they are taken through disciplinary internal processes, but there are no criminal charges that are being opened against these officials. And as we are dealing with corruption, we must not just focus on politicians, because there are business people that we must also then charge, because a corruption takes two to tango. So as we deal with the politician, we must also deal with the business. So we are going to fight crime. As I said, we are bringing law and order, and that goes for corruption also. We have to deal with it decisively.
I'm fascinated that you point to Singapore. Singapore is one of those countries, and I've been there a number of times, and it's one of those places where no one would ever argue it is a democratic state. It is a place that basically has had one party in charge since it was formed, but it has been, quite as you observe, very tough on corruption, partly because the civil service is well paid, carefully monitored, well educated, and enormously aware of its responsibilities. There's a whole ethos, a whole sense of what's necessary, right, and proper. And as a result, economic growth there has been extraordinary, even though it has zero natural resources except its geographic location. Have you been to Singapore? Have you had a chance to take a look at it?
No, but I have researched it. I'm fascinated by it. President of Patriotic Alliance, Gaetan McKenzie, was there about 3 weeks ago. I will be going after elections.
I want to shift gears a little bit. We've done a lot of talking about your political thinking and ideas and how you would do things, but I need to talk a little bit about you as a person, because I don't know. What hobbies do you have besides going from meeting to meeting, expanding on your views about politicians and corruptions? What foods do you like? What things do you do when you are not doing this?
Number one, I love my family. Got 7 kids. I have 2 with my late wife. I had 1 when I was at university, my firstborn. And with my wife now, we have 4 kids, very, very young. So that keeps me busy when I'm not busy.
I can believe that.
I love music. I love music. I love to DJ. During my spare time, I DJ at many places. I get paid to DJ. I attend events. So I like entertainment. And which is one of my conditions when the party asked me to be a councillor. I said to them, I am not going to live a boring life. I don't want to lie to South Africans about my lifestyle. I will continue DJing. I will continue going to places of entertainment. I will continue popping my champagne. I am continuing to live my life. So I love fun. I love soccer. I love chess. I play chess a lot. I'm busy teaching my seven-year-old son. He just turned seven now on the 7th of May. I'm teaching him chess now. It's a game that I learned from high school. I love it very much. So in essence, that is me. I'm not a golfer. I'm not a cricket guy. I'm not any sports that takes my whole day. I try to stay away from. But I'm also a Christian. I love God. I love Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. I'm who I am by His grace, by the grace of God, and the mercy of God. So I'm a Christian. My life is in the hands of my God. I'm a traditionalist. I love our culture and our traditions, and I don't want them to be diminished. I don't want South Africa to lose its culture and traditions the same way the indigenous people in Canada did, the same way the West Indies in the United States of America did, the same way the indigenous people in Australia did. In as much as we accept that we are in this particular modernized arrangement, we must protect our cultures, even in the cities, even in the metros. So I am a traditionalist. I slaughter for my ancestors. Every year, once a year, I go back home where I come from in the Free State, in Odendaal Stress. I call the community in my section. I slaughter two cows or a cow and four sheep. I cook for them, I buy them alcohol, and we celebrate, we feast as I thank my ancestors for a year that they have provided for me. But on the Friday, we pray at night, we pray a lot. In the morning, we feast and we celebrate life. And then June, I slaughter here at my house in Bryanston to also thank my ancestors for everything that they intercede for me.
I have to break here for another station identification and commercial.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
We have a little bit of time left, and I'll give you the last word. There's an argument in this country about how to create economic growth, and you've spoken a bit about that, about returning economic circumstances to those people who are citizens. But the argument is something between whether freeing up business is the way to create growth and jobs, or whether the government should help determine and dictate where growth should take place, and then to spend money in that regard. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
Our turnaround strategy is very clear. We also call it, we call it a turnaround strategy. We support a free market economy. However, we say that government must also play a role of monitoring so that we can be able to deal with issues of collusion. We can be able to deal with issues of inclusive economy. We can be able to monitor and facilitate and also guide on the participation of the SMMEs in the mainstream economy. Because if you just free it, and we see now in our country, you've got a few supermarkets that have now become bottle stores. So an ordinary person can even open that type of business. We see a monopoly in this country, one company that has bought shares into so many companies, and they are monopolizing. They are even doing cleaning for government. Yet there are cleaning companies in the townships that are SMMEs that are not being given a chance, that can compete with a company like Bitvest. So government has to play a monitoring role, put legislation in place to deal with issues of monopolies and collusion. In our country, we've had cases of collusion, including in the construction space, including in the cigarette space. So there's been a lot of collusions that is happening. And that is the role that government must play. But we must free our economy. We believe in the free market, but the government must be the eyes of a society so that society is not exploited.
We've been speaking with Kenny Kuneni, is standing for election with the Patriotic Alliance. We know a lot more about what he likes to eat, what he likes to drink, how he likes to connect with family, friends, ancestors, and the place he comes from. And we've heard a pretty unvarnished set of ideas about how he, were he in government, in a coalition, the things that are most important to him. I appreciate your time, sir. I know it's really busy right now, and you've got to go from this place to that place all day long. And I wish you good luck.
Can I conclude?
Yes, please. Go ahead. Say something.
One of the things that, as the Patriotic Alliance, have agreed that we will not do is to inherit friends or enemies of the African National Congress or the Democratic Alliance. We will create our own friends internationally. Our first trip was to go to Israel, where we went on a fact-finding mission, because Israel has got technologies that can assist our country. We have a water problem in our country, and Israel has got a solution to that. But because of the narrow-mindedness of the ANC government, and because the ANC government does not care about the basic needs of South Africans, they are refusing to import that technology of desalination that will clean seawater so that our people have enough water. We have got Atlantic Sea and the Indian Ocean. We have got an abundance of seawater, but the ANC has refused to do that. Israel has a technology that cleans wastewater. Israel's technology, they only lose 2%, if my memory still serves me well, when they do their wastewater treatment. In South Africa, they are losing between 50 and 60%. And the South African government of the ANC is refusing to import this particular technology so that we can be able to mitigate our water challenges. So we are, as a party, friends of Israel, and we are going, when we take over, import these technologies that Israel has. There is a company from Israel that is in 40 hospitals. So if Russia can import medical technologies that deals with cancer from Israel, although Russia does not really see eye to eye with Israel on certain issues, but those trade relations with Israel, based on the technology that Israel has, it shows that Israel is a leading or one of the leading countries when it comes to technology that mitigates not only basic needs, but also our health. So one of the things that we are going to do is to bring back the embassy of Israel in South Africa, because we understand that the ANC took this stance not out of principle, but because Iran instructed the ANC to do so. Lindiwe Sisulu, when she was the Minister of International Relations, wanted the embassy of Israel to be closed. But Ramaphosa, as the president, removed her. What has changed now? Iran has instructed the president and the ANC to take Israel to the ICJ so that Iran can release the money of MTN that is in Iran. So it is not a principle stance that the ANC took to take Israel to the ICJ. It is because of the stomach politics that they are known for. And as the Patriotic Alliance, yes, we believe in a two-state solution in Israel and Palestine. But we are not going to be lifting the flag of the Middle East. We are more concerned about the challenges that are facing us. If South Africa, if the ANC government wants to be the conscience of the world, they must first deal with the problems of water here, unemployment, an economy that does not grow, crime, illegal immigration that they have so much orchestrated, and stop being the conscience of the world, fighting the wars that two countries, two brothers must actually resolve. Thank you very much. I just wanted to add to that point.
I appreciate that. Kenny, I'm sorry we've run out of time, and I'm glad that you got that in. And good luck to you on the rest of the campaign. And we'll watch with anticipation to see how well you and your party do next week. Kenny Cuneni of the Patriotic Alliance. This is Brooke Spector, The Deep Dive, and we'll be back next week. Take care.